Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, priest team. Thank you, priest team. We are going to go straight into today's message or exhortation. We're going to pray first. Thank you, musicians. I'm going to need your help quickly. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this hour as we gather tonight, today, celebrating what you call Father's Day in America. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And we say happy Father's Day to every father in the house. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you guide this fellowship and exhortation, this message and this discussion today. And let your name alone be glorified in all this, so that people of God everywhere that are going to hear or view this recordings, they shall be blessed. Many shall know that Jesus is the only way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, today I'm going to do something different. We've never done it before. And I will tell you why the Lord laid this upon my heart to do this. We all came from Africa, from Nigeria, many years ago. And when we were in Nigeria, we had what we call this same type of fellowship. And many of us grew together. Seniors, many of us move over to America. I was talking to a brother many years ago right now in his house, and I was one of the people in Nigeria that usually we preach. And this brother, I've never seen him preach or exhort. He was one of the brethren in the fellowship, but he also moved over here. Then we were chatting in his house, and he said something that touched my heart. He said, you guys, when you are preaching in Nigeria and we never ask questions, you thought we all believe what you guys are saying. What? This, to me, is an elder among us. Think of all people like all our brothers have been here, they never really preach. But they were seniors like us, and they were in Nigeria. That was this brother. He was not among us here, but he was one of us that moved from Nigeria over here. And when I was in his house, he said that almost many years ago. He said, you mean we will stand up and preach about end time message? And they listened, they never asked questions, and we thought they all believed, and they all followed us. Let's not be deceiving ourselves. And Lord said, and we, in our fellowship, we never have all Bible studies. No Bible studies, not so. Do you ever have Bible studies in Nigeria? No Bible studies. We just come on Sundays, we preach. No discussion. And we thought all of them are believing. So that's why I said we're going to do question and answer today. It's going to be a panel. I'm going to invite three. Can somebody come and move this thing, brother? Michael, come and move this thing. Give me some three chairs here. I'm going to invite three preaching pastors over here. And we're going to ask questions. Actually, I listed some questions that will be in the heart of many. And then I will pass to these pastors, one by one. And they will give the explanation. And after they do that, we're going to open it to questions from the audience. Right there, please. Just move this one away and move me closer to them. So three people sitting down in a panel. One more share, thank you. And we're going to ask questions. And we have five questions here. We direct to each person. And then, after they answer the questions, we will invite only three brethren. That's all. Thank you. Yeah. Only three in the panel. So we need three microphones for them over here. And then we open it to questions. If you have any question while they were giving the answer, please write it down. If any question comes to your mind as a follow-up, write your own question down. Either you are going to pass it to me, or I'm going to invite you to come and ask your question, follow up, and you can direct to any of those three pastors so that they will explain further what they just said or why they believe that. And those are the things that we need to do. It's like a question and answer panel, okay? And I want people that are watching on television, because this thing I record here, this is like my studio here. I record it for television broadcast. I have my sermons on ITV in Abuja, because I want to reach those politicians in Africa. So we are going to talk on why do we believe Jesus is the only way? Those type of questions that you that is preaching on the street, we run into people that we ask that type of question. Maybe you that is also college students, we have the same question. Because I was talking to one of our own people here, young people that have gone to PhD on the phone. I said, you people believe this thing so much, you think it's true? I said, what? You think it is true? What we have touched, what we have seen with our eyes, your PhD in psychology that you think you know now, you think we, parents, we think it is true. True! We have touched and tasted this thing. You better believe it. So that's why we are going to ask this question, so that some of you that are being in colleges, I'm going to introduce this pastor so that you guys that are watching online, you see that we are not riffraffs. Because people thought in the generation of the world, these riffraffs, in the days of the Roman Empire, only the slaves were following the Christianity. So all the senators think, only the riffraffs, the slaves. No, God is not just calling riffraffs. I'm going to tell you that are watching, among us in this audience are what? Medical doctors. They can't be riffraff, are they? Engineers. They can't be riffraff, are they? Nurses. By show of hand, many of them will know. I'm not to talk of college students. So we are not riffraff, and I'm going to introduce these pastors and tell you their credentials as I bring them over here, so that we are not even theologians. Because they say, oh, they went to the school of theology and they pop something into their head and they are now trying to make... No, many of our pastors are not theologians. We are engineers, medical doctors. So you say scientists, they say science is against the Bible, not the true scientists. So that is why you that are watching, when you see, when you hear what these people are going to explain and answer, the question that baffles many people, you will know that yes, you better follow Jesus is the only way. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to call Brother Austin Jonah. I don't know someone. Now, Brother Austin has worked, I'm introducing him right now, come over and sit down, has worked as a chaplain, anywhere in America. Chaplain for prisoners, working with the prison ministry, changing lives. People that were criminals, and you know, in most of the prisons, they have chaplains, just to see whether these people can change. And he has worked with them, changing lives. So that's why I'm introducing him. He's going to give explanations to some of the things. Now I'm going to call Pastor John Agemomin. Now, Pastor John has his bachelor in microbiology from University of Benin in Nigeria and has master's degree in MBA in business from University of Ife, what you call in those days, we call it University of Ife. It was by the time he went there, when we were there, it was University of Ife. By the time he went there, it was Ora Oba Femi Awolowo University. So that you guys that are in Nigeria, you see that, well, these are not riffraff, these are master's degree people. And then he worked many places, and he's now in America. And I'm going to call Pastor Yato Adeyemi, who is the senior pastor in this congregation here. Now, Pastor Yato, I've known him. He has his bachelor from Nigeria, from University of Ibadan, in what? Computer science. So don't think of these people as theologians. They're going to tell us something. Computer scientists. And he got his master's degree from Arizona State University right here in computer science. And he has been working in this country as engineers, computer scientist. So don't think of, and I'm just really talking to you. I have my bachelor's degree in computer engineering. A little bit different from computer science. Electrical and computer engineering from University of Ife in the 70s. And then came over here and got my master's degree in electrical and computer engineering from Arizona State University. And not only that, I have worked in this country in different areas of computer programming, and then work as what we call cyber security specialist. trying to protect the Department of Defense in America, that's the military, working to protect this Department of Defense, and working to protect even the Department of National Defense called Canadian military. We are working until I retire. So when you are looking at these people, don't think they are just theologians, they're going to tell us something. These are professionals. And we're not even theologians. We're going to talk about Jesus, the only way. Why we believe the only way. Praise the Lord. So I have a few questions here. I listed about 6 questions, really. And I will pose it to one by one, and then they will give explanation. The first question will go to Pastor John. So I say, you take your pen. If you have a follow-up question, write it down. At the end of this few discussion, they are going to write, answer your question as much as we can cover. Pastor John is going to answer the first one. What proof is there that there is a God? Many unbelievers would like to know. Some people claim to be atheists. It's going to be brief, but it's going to go to the point. What proof is there that there is a God? If you want to stand up so that the camera can focus on you, Pastor John, go ahead.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Go.
I know there is God, first and foremost, because I have experienced Him, His transformation power in my life. I was born into a pagan family. My father used to worship his own ancestors. But miraculously, God visited me. God transformed my life, and I became different in the whole family. And with time, many others came to know the Lord in my family. So from personal experience of a changed life, I know that there is God. But scripturally, if we want to go to the book of Romans, we can read chapter 1, verse 20. Can somebody put it up, please?
Romans chapter 1, verse 20.
It says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So some people say, oh, we talk about Jesus, but what about those who never heard about Jesus? Before Jesus came, there were people. But let me tell you that there are people that approve of God, who knew God in the Old Testament before Jesus came. Abraham, the father of faith, he believed God in his time. He didn't have scripture like this, but he feared God. He saw nature. He saw what God had created. And that gave him conviction that there was a supreme being, and he believed and he feared God. He not feared God. He believed God, not because there was a Bible, but because of what God had created. In Psalm 19, verse 1, it talks also, can you put it up, please? Psalm 19, verse 1. It talks about the creation of God, the moon, the stars. There is an architect of the universe. If we have some good fashion somebody is putting on right now, there is a designer. There's hardly anything you can see here that was not made by any human being. But God gave them wisdom. And you cannot say this microphone just came from nowhere. Somebody designed it and it's functioning. So there is a designer. There is the designer of the whole creation. In fact, if you are sincere, looking at nature, looking at the mountain, and looking at avocados and all that, you find that there is God. Just take a visit to the Grand Canyon. Something will tell you that there is God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Thank you, brother. We can go further and further on that. If you have more questions, just write it down. We're going to get to you. The next question I'm going to pose to the panel here is for Pastor Yato. Let's talk about faith. How is faith exercised and why does it fail sometimes? If you say faith fails, I mean, you pray and try to get something, you exercise your faith, and it doesn't seem to happen. Pastor Yato.
Well, good morning and praise the Lord.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Well, you know, how is faith exercised? I'm glad that he asked me that question because faith is a subject that I'm passionate about.
Amen.
The Bible says that, number one, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You'll find that in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. The same chapter of Hebrews 11 describes faith in the first verse as faith being a substance. It's the substance of things we hope for. Now, from that scripture, we see that faith is not abstract. Substance is tangible. Faith is a substance of things we hope for, the evidence of things we have not seen. Put it to you this way. How do you exercise faith? The two or three questions he asked. How do you exercise faith? Why does it work sometimes? And why does it work other times? Kind of like, what are the faith blockers? So the way that faith works is for us, you know, to, just like this scripture says, to believe in something, you hope for it, you press forward toward it, you expect it, even though you have not yet seen it. Now, but for our faith, this is the question about how does faith work? For our faith to work, it has to be based on the Word of God. I can't just have faith in myself. You know, that may be good, but the faith that we're talking about today, I'm sure, is the faith that works according to the word of God. In the book of Lamentation 3:37, again, a scripture that I like a lot, it says that, who is he that says something and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Now, which means, you know, I can be having faith in something. Chances are it may happen, it may not happen, if the Lord has not commanded it. But if the Lord has commanded it, then we are more assured that it is more likely to happen. How does faith work? I'll give you two scriptures, maybe three. One scripture in 1 John chapter 3:22 talks about two kinds of things that we must do in order to receive something from him. And faith, obviously, is about receiving things from God. When we ask something, then we receive it of him because we keep his commandments. That's one. And we do those things that are pleasing inside. That's two. So faith works by us keeping his commandments. That's what I call active obedience. God has commanded something, we do it. The other one I call passive obedience is even if God has not point blank commanded it, but we know that it pleases him, so we do it. Now, a combination of these two things, when we do what he has commanded and we do what we know pleases him, grants us access to God and gives us, you know, that's how faith works. Now, quickly about why does faith not work? Well, Jesus, he talked about it. There's a story in Mark chapter 11 where he was talking about it from verses 23 to 25. Powerful lessons there. He was talking about you can even use your faith to move mountains, you know. But he gave some principles here. He says that when you say something, now you know that he was talking about faith because if you read the previous verse in 22 is talking about have faith in God, right? Have faith in God. Then he goes on to explain how the faith works. You know, this is the illustration he gave. Looking at a mountain that was there. And he said, look, this is how faith works, practically. If you can say to this mountain, be thou removed. It's one thing, you say it. Now, that part is also important because you can't say something that God has not commanded. We covered that already. But assuming you find a scripture for it, something that God has commanded, and you latch on onto it, then you say it. And then Jesus gave some principles here. He said, when you say it, you must not doubt it in your heart, but you must believe that those things that you said will come to pass, then you will have those things. Which means if you doubt, it will not work. So doubt is a blocker. And unbelief, obviously, is a blocker. Now, in this chapter, if you go down to verse 25, Jesus also talks about a great blocker. Because in verse 24, he says, look, what things, you know, soever that you desire, of course, it's got to be according to the word of God. When you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. But now, in the next verse, he says, but when you stand praying, and you do not forgive, well, your Heavenly Father may not forgive you. Neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you. You know, so unforgiveness is a great blocker. And other things in the scriptures, like Isaiah chapter 59, tells us, he said, our God's ears are not deaf, right? And his hand is not shortened, that he cannot save, but our iniquities have separated us from our God. So those, again, those things are some blockers. Let me stop here. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. We move forward. The next question I'm going to pose to Pastor Austin is, what is generational curse? And can one cancel it? Based on Luke chapter 11, verse 24. Pastor Austin.
Praise the Lord.
Put Luke chapter 11, verse 24 up.
In Luke, it says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, finding none. He said, I will return unto my house whence I came out. You see, legal. Your body is not his rest. It's not the devil's rest. But he said, I will return to my house. Why? That person did something that opened the door for the enemy coming and take that place as his own rest. Now, the Bible talks about generational curses. And the time came, God abolished it. I have scriptures for you. And let me first read generational curses. Let's look at Exodus chapter 34, verse 7. Exodus 34, verse 7. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that we by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. Now, so this became a right for people to be saying generational curses, and the devil latched to that one and was using it against people, even till now, even in the churches. Generational curses. But do you know God has abolished it? Yeah. He has abolished death and he brought immortality back to life through the Gospels. So if you can believe the Gospels, immortality will become yours. Hallelujah.
Sorry.
Now, he abolished generational curses. I have a scripture for you, Ezekiel chapter 18. Verse 1 to the end. But let's.
Hallelujah.
You hear me well?
Yes.
Ezekiel chapter 18. He said, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, What mean ye that use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, he shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel, even in America, in Nigeria.
Amen.
Behold, hallelujah, all souls are mine. This is God talking to us. As the soul of the Father, also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that seen it shall die. Let's go to verse 4. That is verse 5. Okay. Verse 4. Okay. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. And the soul that seen it, it shall die. And that is really happening. Let's go to verse 20. Or that same chapter. Verse 20, please. The soul that seen it, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. Did you hear that? Neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. You pay for your own. You can't pay for your daddy. But that the enemy is using that. I will explain something to you. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Let me explain something. You see, the enemy has been using this against believers, even till our present time, because they don't know their right. There's a man in America today who was a prophet, now he's now an apostle. Now, what happened? When he's fasting, the children will be crying, "Daddy, don't fast," because his anger will be out of hand. At any time, he's fasting. So he said to go to God. God told him, he said, there's a court case. Witness, there's something that the enemy is holding to. Remember, I shared something about Job. You don't know God is bragging on you. God is letting me go around. He says, a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Apart from that, he's a busybody. And he wants to see that you disbelieve your God. But this man now, when he went to God, God told him, he said, it's a court case. And he said, what is it? He said, you have to come to me and repent and appear before me. So he presented himself, not in the heaven, in prayer line. And was repenting of the sins of his own parents. While he was doing that, the yoke was broken. Right there, his own son, that yoke was broken while he was in the school, in the college.
Hallelujah.
Then, they now questioned that, "Daddy, what happened at so time?" He said, "That was the time that I appeared before the Lord because the Lord gave me the key, and I repented on behalf of my great great grandparents and so on and so forth, and that yoke of anger was broken, and that is how the son was set free." So the devil is a lawyer. He knows how to hold to some things that you don't know that have been creeping on your generations. Just like a sister told me recently, he said, "You know, the Lord told me that your mother is from the palace." See, there are a lot of things involved in the palace. But I will not, but she's already in heaven. I'm not going to pay for whatsoever they've done, but I need to go to God on my own. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Well, I mentioned faith. I want to just say a little before I'm on that, because faith in the word of God is essential. You have to claim your promises. What the Bible said, we have been translated. God has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That is when you are born again. So if you have been born again, truly born again, you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness. Your parents and grandparents were in the kingdom of darkness because they were not born again. But if you have been born again, then you have to know the word and you have to claim, stand on the ground of the word that I am no more from that family. I have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And by the confession of your faith, that broke his yoke. It's just like saying, That man said, you belong to that family. No, I'm no more in that family. I'm now in the family of God. That faith alone breaks any yoke, generational curse. Praise the Lord. That's where he was talking about faith. Praise the Lord. Now, make sure you write questions down that we follow up questions to some of these things we're asking. Two more questions I'm going to ask before we throw it open to everybody to bring your own question, and we still have some time. Now, we're going to go into something that is new, that is in our generation. Prophecy of our time. What time is it? Because everybody said the Lord is coming soon. Rapture, and so on. I want to throw it up to any of the pastors who is going to answer this. What time are we in right now? Based on the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 24, or the book of Revelation, chapter 13, who's going to want to take a shot at that? Pastor John, Pastor Yato, about the prophecies of the end time, because that's what we were all being raised with. Prophecy, the Lord is coming soon, Antichrist is coming, all those type of things that we were teaching one another in the 80s and 70s, that made many people even forsake schools, thinking it's coming soon. And we are now grandparents, you see. That started in the 70s. Many forsook school that the Lord is coming soon. And up to now, some people are still doing the same thing. I mean, they are thinking it's coming soon. They were forsaking many things, you see. And yet, we are now grandparents. When we were in colleges, many of us never thought we were going to get married before the Lord comes. Now, what time is it right now? Anybody wants to take it up first? Comparing the prophecies we are watching now and the prophecies of war and the signs of the end that we are seeing in the news. Praise the Lord. John, want to try it first? Can change the microphone.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There are prophecies in the book of Daniel and also in the book of Revelation telling us about what will happen in the end times. Where some people said, even as far back as the days of the apostles, it was end time. But there are the latter days in which we are now. There were certain things happening in the time of the apostles that are not happening now. For example, gay marriage was an abomination. Same-sex marriage was an abomination at that time, even way back in time of Sodom. For which reason God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But today, it's not regarded as an abomination. It is something that people proudly identify with. That is delusion. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, can you put it up, please? The Bible talks about this kind of development, wherein what is truth in the word of God will be called evil. Let's read it directly. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. That's exactly what is happening now. What was absurd in those days is now regarded as the light. People believe God in earlier times, in time of the apostles, but now they believe the creature more than the creator. This is exactly what is happening now. Then Jesus himself told us about certain signs that will happen. As it was in days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. What happened in time of Noah? There was so much sin, so that God repented and wanted to destroy the world at that time. What is happening today? So much sin that we think that we are even doing over time on this side, because God has every right to destroy the world even once and because Sodom and Gomorrah, they did less than what we are doing now. Praise the Lord. The signs of earthquakes and all that. You say, oh, earthquakes have been happening. But the magnitude of earthquake and the frequency of earthquakes is different. If you trace it back, let's say in the 1920s, 1950s, 1960s, 1970s,
you find that the frequency of earthquake is more now, and the gravity, the magnitude of it, is even more. Jesus also told us about the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Lot. Well, that's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. It's happening now. But you see, one thing we need to know is that Jesus said he's coming again, and that there'll be false prophets, false teachers. We are having them now much more than ever before. There are certain things unprintable that are happening in some so-called churches today. You will baffle. And that is hardening the heart of many people not to believe in the true God. Because there are agents of darkness in the church. They are happening. It's happening much more than when you were born. And by the way, please don't take side with the mockers, the scoffers. 2 Peter chapter 3, 18 verse 10, thereabout, talks about the mockers. There are those who will come out, they are scoffers. They say, oh, you say Jesus is coming and he has not come. He will come when we come. Before Jesus Christ came the first time, there were prophecies that he will come. He will be born of a virgin. But like Isaiah, he never saw the manifestation. But you yourself, you know that that one has since happened. So they waited for centuries, waited for many years, and it didn't happen. It didn't make the word of God of no effect. At the right time, he came. Jesus is delayed. He's the one that say why the bridegroom tarried. If you read Matthew chapter 25, the story of the 10 virgins, why the bridegroom tarried. The bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the sovereign God. You are not the one to tell him, you must come now. Why? He's the one tarrying. Are you to question him? The time is ripe, and when everybody who is supposed to be in the kingdom has entered by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will come. But the signs he told us, they are all around us, and we should be prepared. Personally, I don't believe that you have to look forward to a particular date so a prophet will tell you that day the Lord is coming. Many have been disappointed with that. That's what our pastor was saying. But I was in the school system at that time when such prophecies were given. I never left my school. I never left my program because I had conviction in the word of God that it could not be like that. In that way, there are false teachers, those who are misguided by the scriptures, and they can pray, they manipulate, and they tell you dates. Don't go by date. Go by the spirit of readiness. That any time Jesus says he'll come, I will be ready.
Amen.
Amen. I think that's what I will stop there so far.
Praise the Lord. Now, I want to add a little bit to that before I go to the next question. What I want to add is to talk about the mark of the beast. Because we, in the generation when the Bible was written, this prophecy in the book of Revelation chapter 13, remember, that was Apostle John wrote in Revelation chapter 13, 2,000 years ago, and he mentioned this in the book of Revelation chapter 13, about verse 16, they put it forward, and people have wondered, what is this, Mark 6, 6, 6? The book of Revelation chapter 13, verse 16, and he said, and he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in his right hand or in their foreheads. Now, that has baffled theologians for generations because in the days of the apostles, something like this, when a dictator rose up and they thought that must be the Antichrist in the days of the Caesars because of other things that he did. But this one is talking about a false prophet different from the first beast that was called the Antichrist. He went further, verse 17 of that. What did he say would happen with people? No man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Buy or sell is commerce. In the generation past, nobody knew that anything like this can ever happen. It looked like it's impossible. He said, no man can buy or sell. But now it's possible because now people are using credit cards, digital. And they are now even brewing this thing called the microchip under the skin that is going to take over in the next few years. We are in the electronic world, and I've done these RFID chips, and I know what you are talking about, because in some I've presented before, in some years ago, some engineering group are discussing this thing that this microchip under the skin in the next few years will become non-optional. What do you mean by non-optional? That is, you cannot buy or sell unless you have it. Everybody, when I came to America the first time, first just coming to bring something to California from my company in Nigeria, they said, "Where do you have it? I wanted to rent a car." They said, "Do you have a credit card?" I said, "What's that?" Because I know about credit card in Nigeria in 1970. "What's that?" I said, "Well, if you don't have a credit card, you can't rent a car, but if you have to deposit $500, I have money from the government, so I was able to deposit $500. So to get a car rented. Then when I move out, I see credit card became the thing, not in those days. Now this chip under the skin is going to replace that. Everybody's using it. I don't carry currency anymore. So if you see carry currency, you go to a store, you want to buy your throwing dollar, means that you are of the old school. It's charge it. But that's what is going to be replaced by this microchip under the skin, which God said, anybody that takes that is in trouble. Revelation chapter 14. But people have wondered about that. When will this ever look like? Is this fable? It's possible now in our generation, the microchip under the skin. It's not just possible, they're already doing it. People are already getting it under their skin. And then they can just go and swipe it. You don't need a card that can be stolen. Just swipe your hand. They use it to open doors. It's about 50,000 people are taking it. It's not mandatory yet, but this will become mandatory. That's what the Bible is saying. God has seen it 2,000 years to come. He's saying now, that is where human beings are going beyond what he planned for mankind. Or their forehead. They are going to put this chip under the skin. Why forehead? Because a microchip, that thing has no battery. So what is going to use to run this thing is a radio frequency. That's called the RFID. I work on it in my computer lab. Radio frequency is what it's using. And now but how are you going to get battery for this thing to work? The microbiologists realize that right here, a change in temperature is what can use. That's what they are using to make sure that thing will be able to ignite. And they are now putting it either here or here in the right hand. God has seen it thousands of years to come and said, when they now, because God said he's going to put his name on the forehead of these believers. Ah, the devil said, "I will put my number on their forehead too, before yours." So now, God said, anyone that take the mark, Revelation chapter 14, about verse 8 there, if you take the mark of that beast, when it's up, when it became mandatory especially, you are in trouble. You are not going with the Almighty God. See, that is our generation. So that's how we know that we are in the time of the end. In the 70s, we never see that. But we are seeing that microchip now developed in our generation, the 20,000 or something. And it's already here. That's what I'm trying to say. It's already here. So get yourself ready. Now, the next question I'm going to ask is for anybody that will go to ask it again. Who? Because we talk about the rapture. Also, we're going to go away to escape all these things. The Lord Jesus Christ said, pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these evil things that have come upon the world and to stand before the Son of Man. And we know one of the ways of escaping is that rapture. The Bible said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Say, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It's kind of like a great escape. Why? Because after that will be a serious trouble upon the earth. The vials of the wrath of God upon the Antichrist system. We are all water turned to blood. So you don't want to be here during that time. You can read that in the book of Revelation chapter 16. That is the real wrath of God. All the things that is happening in the world right now, wars. These are all the workings of the devil. But God now begins to pour his wrath upon the earth, Revelation chapter 16, the seven vials of the wrath of God. Now that's when we want to escape. But who and who is going to be in that rapture? Who and who is qualified? I want to open it up to brethren. Matthew chapter 25. Put it forward. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 to 5. So, Pastor Yato, let's start from you. You want to get on the short on who and who is qualified to go in the rapture? You can actually come over here.
All right.
To make it closer.
Well, the story in Matthew 25 about the foolish virgins and the wise virgins. First of all, to understand what Jesus is saying here, you have to take the whole parable as a whole. There are elements that we can look and try to dissect in this parable. A lot of people have done that. The key thing, however, that Jesus is teaching, because at the end of this parable, he says, therefore be ye also ready, for you know not in what hour your Lord cometh. So the principle that is behind this parable is very simple. It's called readiness. That's what this parable is talking about. And I'm going to give you an illustration of readiness out of this parable. There were about 50%, so to speak, that were ready. Others were not ready. And Jesus went on to describe what was the state of readiness or the state of unreadiness in those that were either ready or not ready. For those that were ready, they were better prepared for the journey that was at hand. They actually not only took, many of us who come from Africa, we understand the concept of lamps, kerosene lamp with a little reservoir. It only has so much that it can take. And when it's finished, that's it. You've got to put more kerosene in that thing. So others, they only carried the lamp. They didn't have the foreknowledge or foresight, rather, that the journey could take a long time and they might run out of that kerosene or oil. So in a sense, they were not prepared for the journey. But let's look at it this way. Because they all actually slept and slumbered when the bridegroom was waiting. When the bridegroom tarried before he came. Let's think of it this way. The illustration I like to give is, you're going on a trip. You know, I know that my wife and I, we love to travel to Nigeria. And when we are trying to go to Nigeria, we start to prepare, sometimes many weeks in advance. Now, the trip itself, the flight out of Phoenix, may be early in the morning, someday, whatever day it is. But, you know, that doesn't mean you don't sleep the night before. You know, now, if your bags are all packed and ready, you can still sleep the night before and still get up and go to your flight. Now, if you were not packed and ready, on the day of your travel, so you're running around, you don't remember whether your passport is valid, do you have the visa and all of that, you are most likely going to miss that flight. But if you had done all those preparations, you know, for the flight, even though you went to bed the night before, that doesn't mean that you're going to miss the flight because you're ready. Your bags are packed. When you wake up, you just go to the airport. So the lesson here is preparedness. What are the things that make us to be prepared and not prepared? You know, so those that are not prepared, they were the ones who in the last minute were scrambling. And then when they were scrambling, the other people who were prepared said, you go find for yourself. And by the time they went and came back, the door had been shut. And the Lord said, well, too late. So the lesson is preparedness. And that's the question. This is what we must ask ourselves. Now, I say to everyone that's listening, both here and later, you know, elsewhere, that the Holy Spirit is the governor of the church. And his role is to prepare us for the coming of the Lord, especially now in these last days. Now, if you are not listening to the Holy Spirit, you are likely to miss something. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that is preparing us. Now, so the Holy Spirit might say to you, like the man that came to Jesus, say, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said, you know the law. Do this, do that, don't do this. Do that. You know, well, I've done all those things before my life. The Lord looked at him and said, And Lord actually saw his life. He said, yeah, good. He said, yet thou lackest one thing. And he told him what his issue was. He had dependency upon his riches. And he went away sad. And Jesus didn't run after him. He just let him go. And then he turned around to the disciple and said, yeah, how hard is it going to be for those that are rich to enter heaven? He said, what do you mean? Then he explained it. Those that trust in riches. It's going to be harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for them to get into heaven. So the question now is, what is that one thing that thou might still lack? So what is the job of the Holy Spirit? He will tell you. The Holy Spirit will be telling you there is one thing that you still lack. But if you are, one, ignorant, or two, willfully ignorant of what the Holy Spirit is saying, then you won't prepare. The Holy Spirit might be telling you that you have unforgiveness in your heart. There's something that you've been holding on to that you did not release. And if you don't listen, well, that may be the one thing that you still lack. You have done all these other things. Man said, I've kept all this law. And Jesus said, good. But he said, yet you lack one thing. So preparedness is for us in this time to stay close to the Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Just to add to that, put on Luke chapter 12 from verse 34 to 38. Let me just read that. Luke chapter 12 from verse 34. About that readiness is what our brother said. And the Lord gave us what does readiness really mean. He said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In the next verse, let your loins be gathered about and your lights burning, your lights burning, your lights burning. And ye yourself like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. So that is very essential that he said, what? Your light burning. You yourself like a one that is washing. You must wash and pray. Like our pastor said, you must be ready. That is your readiness, your light burning. And one more thing, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. The word of God also told us that unto them, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Unto them that look for him. You must be looking for Jesus. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him. Are you looking for Jesus? Or you are too busy? Somebody said, if the Lord is coming, says, I would like to finish my college first. Don't wait on that, brother. Oh, I've got to get married first. Don't count on that, sister. Be ready at any time. But looking for him means you are anxiously waiting for him. So think about that. What does it mean to be looking for him? Unto them that look for him will he appear the second time without sin unto glory. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, one more question I want to ask, which perhaps is, why do we say, this is going to come from all unbelievers like the Muslims, why do you say Jesus is the only way? Prove to me that Jesus is the only way. Give me Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 6. I'll just put three Bible verses out there because we are running out of time because I want to open it up to people to ask questions. John chapter 14, verse 6. Why do we say Jesus Christ is the only way? Because all the other religions thought the last pope was getting all those religions and saying we are all serving the same God. No, we are not serving the same God. They may be trying to serve God, but God has come to visit mankind. In the name of Jesus, in the body of Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus Christ himself said it with his mouth. With his own mouth. Somebody may say, well, I don't believe the report. Then that's your problem. If you don't believe the testimony of those people who heard him, that wrote it down for us, then that's your problem. You that are in the world, that are listening to this on radio or TV. Testimony of others. These men called the apostles, they dined with him, they heard him, they talked to him. Apostle John said, what we have touched with our hands. So if you don't believe the testimony of this scripture that they said, Jesus Christ said it, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Because I was talking to, I preached in every place where I find myself, and the Muslim rabbi said, you guys are following something, how do you prove it? Jesus Christ says, you say, I don't believe that, that's just something from your scriptures. If you don't believe the testimony of these prophets, you are on your own. I cannot help you. Remember the story Jesus Christ gave of the rich man that went to hell and Lazarus that went to the bosom of Abraham? That was not a parable. Not a parable. Jesus Christ was telling you what he knew happened on the other side. And that rich man said, send Lazarus, please, to bring water. I said, no way of crossing over, sorry. The rich man said, well, please, send Lazarus to go back to my brethren on earth, so they don't come to this bad place. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. I mean, they have preachers who are giving testimonies on earth. Oh, Father Abraham, no. If somebody will rise from the dead, he will believe. What did Abraham told the man? If they believe not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. What is Moses and the prophets? Those are the testimonies. If you don't believe this testimony, we are saying Jesus Christ said it with his mouth. I am the way, the truth. And if you don't believe that, and you say, well, that's your Bible. Our Quran doesn't say that. Then you are on your own, because this is the testimony of those who heard him. Apostle Peter also said in another place, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 4 verse 12, Acts of the Apostles chapter 4 verse 12, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You may say, well, that's, the Muslim may tell you that's in your Bible, we don't believe that in the Quran. Well, if you don't believe the testimony, like Abraham said, of these prophets, we cannot help you. Don't beat your head on the wall trying to convince them. If I tell you the truth and the testimony, you don't believe it, that you're on your own. You're on your own. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ didn't yell and cry. He just told the Pharisees that were questioning him. He said, you are not believing because you are none of my sheep. They are too still on earth. So don't beat yourself to death because some people are not believing. Just go on and tell them, just tell them the truth. Neither is there salvation in any other. But there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One more Bible verse. One more Bible verse. The apostles, they heard heaven open and speak. Say, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. That is, Jesus Christ said, he is the way. The apostles said, they heard a voice from heaven confirming that. Hear him in the mount. Let me tell you, Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. That was when they went with the Lord Jesus Christ to the mountain to pray in the late of night. And they woke up and saw Jesus transfigured. And Moses and Elijah, they could recognize that was Moses. That was Elijah. Wow! In glory, in cloud. And they wanted to go and meet them. Master, we are glad we are here. We built three tabernacles for you, for Moses, for Elijah. Say, a cloud came and covered and said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. That means forget of Moses. Forget about Elijah. This is the final authority. Heaven back him up. Himself said, is the way. The scripture said it. So if you don't believe the testimonies of these people, you are on your own. So that's talking to somebody in Africa, talking to somebody in America that is listening to this. If you don't believe these testimonies, you are on your own. Because it is this testimony that saved us. He said, you come believe it, then you see. Somebody say, well, show me first, then I'll believe. No, he said, you believe, then you see. Praise the Lord. That is my answer to that. Why is Christ the only way for all of you? Now, we are going to open this to everybody. If you have questions, follow-up questions, yes, brother, come forward so that we can give you, the camera can see you. Yeah, come forward. And you are come over here so that you can face the camera. I want them to see who is asking questions. And you can pass to anybody. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Please, if you can put up Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Yeah, that's the basis of the question. The question is on chapter Colossians 2, 13 and 14. The question on the basis of our central courses. Pastor Austin's illustration about the man that is having issue, anger issues. Seems to contradict the scriptures you read that the ancestral curses is abolished. Because it just looked as if that until he breaks that curse, that it was still following him and his generation. So if that's where I'm putting that scriptures, if by these scriptures, and ye be dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, had he quickened together with him, talking about believers now, having forgiven you all trespasses, 14 please, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. The next verse, please. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. So, I want that clear because of...
Praise the Lord. He addressed it to Pastor Austin, and I want to actually quickly answer some part of that, because the Bible verse I quoted after Pastor Austin spoke, that God has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, when you believe and you are born again. That is what this Bible verse you quoted is referring to. We that are born again. But you have to believe it and understand it. My people perish for lack of knowledge. So the knowledge of the word of God, if it's missing, people will still be thinking of the Old Testament. That's why many churches up to now, they were still thinking they were following the Old Testament laws of Moses. And that's what they are thinking their righteousness is, by keeping all those laws. And they're afraid that if I do this thing, God is going to whack me. But we are under this grace of God. But you have to believe it, that you have been transformed. You have been translated from the kingdom of darkness, where your parents were, where you once were before you were born again, into this kingdom where you're now enjoying this. When you enjoy this, it's because you have been translated. But you have to believe it and confess it. Claim that problem. You want to add to that, brother?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, it is true that the enemy will go after a believer. Like the teacher that I gave about Job. The Lord is always bragging on you. In the realm of the spirit, you don't know what God is saying. See, my son, he's perfect, he's righteous, he's upright. He will not compromise, and the enemy will come out, because, you know, mammon is a problem to people generally, except those who really fear God. Now, because of mammon, that's why the devil came to attack Job, and Job did not succumb to mammon. And God, at the end, enriched Job more than before. Now, what was the question of the brother?
The question is that this Bible verse of Colossians is saying we have been transformed. We have been made righteous. And so why are you still talking about you? That's why my answer to him, that you have to believe that you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ when you are born again. If you don't believe that, you don't understand it, you will still be afraid, and the devil commercialize, or the devil really prey on fear, not knowing the word. That's really the answer to his prayer. Praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord. Hallelujah. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believe it, confess it, and stand by it, and the Lord will bless you. Come forward so they can face the camera, they can see you.
I have a few questions, but I'll just keep it brief because I know we're tight on time. The first question that I'll ask, thank you for the panel. So the first question I would ask is, when the initial question you asked, Pastor Julius, was about how do you explain to an unbeliever, what was the initial question? What proof is there, God? And I know that you mentioned the audience is those who've been coming to church, who don't necessarily believe, so they know what the scripture says, but also to those who may be listening to your radio broadcast who are looking for proofs. Are there any historical proofs? Let me see what I wrote. Historical archaeological proofs, indisputable proofs that there is a God, that would speak to those people who give more levity to things in the world as opposed to things in the word. They don't believe the word. Yes. Okay, my other question is, from the last question you asked, what was the, where are we at in the timeline as far as the rapture? So, like, where in historical timeline are we, according to Daniel's prophecies on the clock? What are all, have all the events that were supposed to have been hit, have they all been hit? Are we just waiting? Where on that timeline are we?
Well, those are going to, even the second question that talks about timeline. Let me quickly talk a little bit about that. I don't want any of us to be trying to think of timeline, because that is where many people made mistakes in the past. Timeline is trying to predict. I think we are right here, and I believe if you have 7 more years, we go to the end of the world. People have been timelining for years, and they are always missing the mark. They are always failing. So be ready. That's what I would say. Ready at all times. I'm trying to say the timeline, but we can actually see the end because of all the signs we are now seeing. Like I talk about the mark of the beast is staring us in the face. So if you are trying to think of timeline, you can Google that and see many people predicting timelines. Say, well, you know, 7th, 8th week of Daniel, and we are about here, and we have 7 more years, or 3.5 more years. That is where I say we, many of us in the 1970s, were saying that a prophet said, 1977, oh, the end of the world will be, oh, it could be around that time. And we are beginning to timeline this thing. Don't timeline anything, just be ready, number one. Number two, the signs that you point to about the Antichrist coming, we are saying the mark is almost here. It may be in the generation of your children, when they will make it mandatory that chips under the skin is what they will use. No more credit cards, no more currencies. We are already at that phase. So that is the end. Praise the Lord. Any other brother wants to talk about the answer as well about John? He asked the question, are there any historical archaeological findings that says about God, there's a God?
Well, I'm not a geologist. I don't know about geological findings, but I know there are geologists that have found the Dead Sea Scrolls, which seem to confirm the word of God. We have a discovery that confirming the word of God, even Noah's Ark and all that. I cannot give you any quotation for that. But talk about timeline. You see, we need to know exactly where we are. Talking about that, God has chosen Israel to be like a time clock prophetically. You have to believe prophecies, and you have to study prophecies. It's not just a question of getting ready. But just know that the prophecies of Daniel, they have all come to pass as regards the coming of the Lord and how he died. Everything was predicted according to the prophecy came to pass exactly. The only part that has not yet come to pass is the 70th week of Daniel. We need to know what the 70th week of Daniel is all about. It's about the prophetic last 7 years of this age, not of this world. This age we are living in. That the time when the times of the Gentiles will be completed. Because the Bible talks about when the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled, then the rapture will take place. When the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled, means God will go back to Israel. As at now, the Israelites, they don't know God. Israel as a nation, they don't know God. They are unbelievers. Judaism is their religion. They rejected the Messiah when the Messiah came. But a time will soon come when they will get to know the Lord. One thing is pending. The rebuilding of the third temple.
Praise the Lord. I don't want us to go deeper into that right now, but people can search more of that later, because we can actually take a whole session. We are going to wrap it up right now, because the timeline is deeper discussion, deeper revelation, and deeper explaining. So let's wrap it up, because we are going to run this. We are at past 12. Unless people say, I want to keep going. I don't mind. I want to keep going. I don't have anything to do. But the pastor told me that we are going to do Father's Day in a moment. So I want to just wrap it up now and postpone this to another time. We're going to postpone it to another time so that we do this more and more, not just once in 10 years. Because there are some college students that are learning from the professors, and they have questions. Because the one I told you that told me is has PhD already. Told me on the phone that said, "You guys believe this thing too long. You think it's true?" I said, "Think it's true? We have touched this Jesus. I have seen him with my eyes. So not just believe what the apostles wrote, which is testimony. You better believe the testimonies of others. Praise the Lord." So I'm going to invite people that are watching, give your life to Jesus. He's the only way. He's the only way. Religion will not save you, but Jesus will save you. So how do you give your life to Jesus? Just talk to him and say, "Lord, I surrender. I am yours. Come into my heart. I repent for my sins. Come into my heart. Give me this new birth they are talking about. Let me be born again. I believe you died for me on the cross. I believe you shed your blood for me. And I believe you rose again from the dead. And you are coming back. I belong to you right now. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Forgive all my sins. Thank you, Lord. Amen." If you do that, sincerely mean it, the Lord will touch you and you will be saved. Praise the Lord. So that will be the end of this panel. And by popular request, in the future, we'll do it again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just stand up and lift up your hands and thank the Lord. The praise team can come back and wrap it up. Bring your offering. Bring your offering and the Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Bring the praise team, come over and start singing. Give us some Bible or some singing to wrap up this session. Praise the Lord. Is that your offering? Praise the Lord. Our brother is traveling to Nigeria, so we're going to pray for him. Well, you can sit down. Let me just lay my hand upon you. And everybody, stretch around and pray for Brother Paul, that the Lord will be with him and with his family. Sarah, can the whole body are the shade, the body are the body are the body. But I thank you, Lord, for our brother Paul. As he travels, you go with him and protect him. He shall go in peace. He shall come back in peace. And what he's going there to do, he shall be successful. And Lord, you shall watch over him in Nigeria. Evil shall not be falling. Plague shall not come near his dwelling. All those evil news that we hear, it shall not come near his own dwelling. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shield upon thy right, and said the word of God. And that which you speak today, it shall come to pass. That the Lord is going to bring you back here safely, in good health, and your family that is going to be here, that you are living there, you will meet them in good health in the name of Jesus Christ. And everything will be to the glory of your name. Let that be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Happy Father's Day. Praise the Lord. Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Let's bless the offering, and then our sister here is going to tell you about the Father's Day. We bless this offering, Lord. Let those people that I give and those that cannot give be blessed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. And let the word of God prosper, and the offering let it be used to glorify your name, Lord. And today, O Lord, be glory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, what a wonderful service we have today. Unique indeed. How many people are blessed? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This part, I know the fathers cannot do by themselves. So we have to do it for them. So we're going to call them to come and sit right in front, as our manner is when we want to celebrate Father's Day or Mother's Day or whatever. So if you can just sit in the front, fathers, come to the front, and let's celebrate you. Praise the Lord. What?
I said, come on down.
Come on. Amen. Well, let's sing for them. Happy Father's Day to you. Boom, boom, boom. Happy Father's Day to you. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to you. Amen. Say in front. Thank you. So we're going to celebrate our Heavenly Father. We thank God for being our Father. And we know that. So He's our Heavenly Father. We celebrate Him. We love Him. And now we're going to celebrate our Earthly Father. And we thank them for their dedication, you know, for the hard work they put into their families, for providing, for protecting, you know, their wives and their children, for helping their wives. All these men help their wives at home. They do a lot for their wives. So we thank you. We thank you very much. And we pray that the Lord God Almighty will bless you. So I'm going to call on my mother to come and pray over our fathers. Mother Ikenaya, please come over and pray over them for us. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Please, I would like every other person to stand up except our fathers. Everybody stand up, please. I'm sure all of us are happy we have fathers.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm happy I have a father. My children have fathers. And we all are glad that God is our Heavenly Father, the overall. So we are going to just say some prayers on our fathers, because God gave them to us, and we have to commit them into God's hand. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If we want, I want us to close our eyes. The fathers can, if they want to.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for the gift of these fathers and other fathers who are not here. They are gifts from us, from you to us, and you gave them to our children. You gave the women, the husbands that are the fathers. And so we thank you, blessed Father. Father, because without you, they cannot do the work you have given them. So we are calling the name of Jesus Christ upon them. We are calling the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon them. We are asking that you give them your heart, the heart of love, the heart of patience, the heart of mercy, the heart that will help them to show us, show the children, show the world who you really are. That is the only way we can move on to your glory. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that our fathers will copy you and they will go the way you lead them in looking after their family. They will be an example so that when the children, when the world see them, they will know who you are and how you are. Father, we want to pray for those who don't have fathers. You know there are so many in this world who don't have fathers, but you are the father of everyone. We commit such into your hand. Father, we are asking that such you may open their hearts to see you as their father, and so that they can follow in your footsteps. They can get the blessing that only you can give. Father, we are asking for those fathers who are just becoming fathers, the young men. Father, we pray that you teach them. Father, we pray that you use the older fathers to be examples of them. That's what you told us in the Bible. And so as we commit the younger one, we ask for wisdom. We ask for love. We ask for understanding. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we are asking also for the fathers who are having difficulties. Father, you know, we want you to be their strength. We want to be their everything they need to be able to carry the big job you have given them. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we want to ask that those who don't have fathers will look up unto you. In the name of Jesus. Father, we are asking also for those who are lacking strength. We are asking for those fathers who are not sure of how to go. Father, we also ask for those who have lost their fathers, like most of us. We are praying that all of us will look up unto you. Father, above all, we are giving you praise as the ultimate father. Because you are the father of fathers. Because you love us. Because you have given us everything. And that's what our fathers will be. Father, as wives, we bless our husbands who you have made fathers. Father, we pray that your name will be glorified. We pray that your name will be honored. We pray that your name will be magnified. Father, we also bring this church unto you, all the fathers in this church. Father, we want them to be a type of you, that as we look up unto them, their lives, whatever they do, we will know that they are an example of you, so that the world, the church, and the families will be built up. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because you know those things we want to ask for our fathers. And we pray, and we know that you are praying for them, you are praying for us. Let your name be forever glorified. Let your name be forever adored. We lift you up, we exalt you. Thank you for everything you do for us, especially for our fathers these days. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Mother. Yes. So, in appreciation for your hard work and your dedication of your support for your family, your children are coming to bless you. Come on. Come on, children. Let's bless our fathers. They're going to give you a little token. When you get your token, please, we want you to dig in. Bring out some one thing there. We want to see it. We want you to dig it right away because we're going to use it right now. All right. Give it to them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Thank you. Okay, when you dig in, you're going to see a cap there. We want you to put it on. That's your father's cap right there. Yes, I want you to put it on. There you go. Praise the Lord. Okay, each one of us has different inscription. Yeah, just left of us. All right. Yours says what? Let's see. A strong man, anchor his family in faith. Praise the Lord. Let's see what yours says. You're not putting it on yet? Okay. What did yours say? Let's see. Yeah, I want to see what you says. A strong man. And that one says what? Man of faith. Amen. Proved in Christ. What does you say? A strong man. Yeah, put it on. Let's put it on. Are you going to take them pictures? I don't know. Very good. And the same thing here. Man of faith. Man of God. My goodness. Strong, faithful, fearless. Man of God. Both of them. Same thing. Man of God. And yours is a strong man anchors his family in faith. Strong faith. Man of God, my goodness. Man of God, a strong man, man of faith. And this one is man of faith, a strong man, and man of faith. Amen. Rooted in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's clap for our fathers. They are men of faith, rooted in Christ. And brother is also man of God. There you go. Praise the Lord. So now that we have them having them on, they can take pictures. Who's going to take picture? Take it for you. Oh, all right. Oh, he has it. Put on your cap. Let's see. What about Michael? Michael, put on your cap. Let's see you. Okay. All right. Everybody has to come out then. Let's. But before that, we want the ladies to say something. Anybody want to say something to their husband? Anyone wants to say something to their husband? Children, what do you want to say to your dad? Anybody? Okay. Come on. While you're coming, I want to appreciate my husband, the father of my children. I am so grateful for what you're doing in our family and for the leadership. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord again. Just as I said, we are happy to have a father. So I want to say something about my husband. You know, a father is somebody who is tough. Somebody who is tough, who can put the children straight. That's who he is when the children were growing up. I wasn't happy because I thought he was too tough. But you know, at the end, something good comes out of it. Praise the Lord. Anybody else?
Yes. I want to thank God for my husband, Pastor Emmanuel Uba, the number one father of the year. Thank you for being an awesome husband and a father to our wonderful children. May the Lord bless you in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for all the men here, our brothers that can take care of their homes. And they are here with their wives and children. God bless you all for taking care of your home. And I want to talk about my husband. He's quiet. He does not like noise. And he's a man of God. I love God to the end. And I really want to thank you for the way he brought up his children. It's not that he was so harsh. He's not that type that will come against the children. You do this, you do that, to blame them. But with his love, he's able to win his children to the Lord. Every morning we have money devotion. And God is pleased with that, and God reward him abundantly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Veronica. Praise the Lord. Anybody want to say anything? Yes, yes. Okay.
Thank you, daddies. God bless you. I know last year I sang a song. There's no room for that now. I want to say the Lord will bless you. I know what you do at home as fathers. We know the work of fathers. I know what my dad did before he passed on. And I know the Lord will give you all more grace to perform according to God's expectation. Strengthen you always, encourage you always, and bless you for all your labors in Jesus' name. And I just want to say this briefly concerning my husband. He's been my husband by the grace of God for 44 years plus. It's the grace of God keeping us. He's a man that loves God. In fact, what he does for God is not what we do at the pulpit here. A lot of things he does outside for God, you know, concerning people. And I know he's a man after God's heart. And I ask for God's grace upon him to always do the right in Jesus' name. God bless you. And the way he prays, we pray for our children too. The Lord is the one that took care of them when they were young, though when he was not around. But that today we can see that the teachings the children received, even while we were around, they still talk about them. To God be the praise and glory. And the Lord bless you all that is in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. I want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the house. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for being the head of the home and for keeping the family unit together. We know what it means to come from a broken family. We know what it means to be a fatherless, you know, family. But we thank God that you've been here for your wives, for your children, for the church. We bless the name of the Lord for your labor of love and sacrifice. It will never be forgotten, and the Lord will reward and bless you richly in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to use this opportunity to say happy Father's Day to my husband. We've been married for over 25 years and still going strong. I want to thank you for being the anchor for our family. You've been a great leader, not just to our immediate family, not just to myself and my children, or our children, sorry. You've been pushing us to do our best and to reach our potential. God bless you for your support. Thank you for bridging the gap between our families, both mine and yours. I want to thank you for your wisdom and the wisdom of all the fathers in the building. May the Lord bless you and continue to shine his face and prosper the works of your hand. Your children, your children's children will call you blessed. And you will continue to be highly favored of the Lord in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right. Someone else wants to say something. All right. Come on. After you, ma'am.
These few words goes to my husband. I just want to say thank you, baby. I appreciate everything you do. Thanks for keeping the family together. I appreciate you. And happy Father's Day to all the men in the house. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. God bless you. All right, Sister Ray. All right. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers here, and of course to the potential fathers. The Lord bless and keep you all. And I want to say a special happy Father's Day to my husband of 28 years old. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his countenance and his face to shine upon you. You have been a pillar in the home, keeping your own immediate family and your extended family, making peace, bridging the gaps. He's a good father. The Lord bless you and reward the labor of your work. Happy Father's Day to everyone.
All right, Sister Grace. Praise the Lord. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. We thank all of you for all that you've been doing and continue to do. I want to say a special happy Father's Day to my husband. Thank you for all that you've done and continue to do, and the Lord will continue to strengthen you. Happy Father's Day.
Amen. I'm going to say from here since I have the mic.
So I want to say
Okay, can I say?
Go ahead.
Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. I cannot sing this. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day to every single father seated here. And I cannot even imagine what it means or what it feels like to be a father. It's a lot of work, it's a lot of pressure, a lot of responsibilities. I want to say happy Father's Day to my husband of 25 years. Hallelujah. Plus. 25 years plus. And for all the love, for the care, for being the pillar, for being the strong voice. I'm not as strong as he is, so whenever it's hard, he's the one I will call for those hard things to do them. So I just want to thank you for how you've been caring for every single one of us, myself and the children, and filling all the gaps where I fail it, you correct it, and you are just the best that I can think of. Amen. Happy Father's Day.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And to the best father of the house, my husband of 50 minus 1 years. You know, I'm looking forward to next year. It's going to be 50 years next year. So I really appreciate you for all that you do. But not only not only fathers to my children, but so many spiritual children that he has that are looking forward to him. I thank you for what you do and for your consistency, for your care, you know, for the love that you have for God and for the love that you have for the children that we have. You know, the way you raise them, they see you as a tough father. But indeed, you know, you put your best effort. You work so hard. And I am a testimony of what you have done. So I bless you. I pray that the Lord will continue to bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day to all the men in the house. And I want to say happy Father's Day to my husband. Thank you so much for you being a present father in the house, helping in the house, loving us, taking care of the kids, loving me, loving the family, and even our extended family. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Thank you, and happy Father's Day to everyone.
Thank you so much, Sister Chizoba. And thank you for working with me on this, on preparing for Father's Day. I appreciate that. God bless you all. So with that being said, what? The photos. Okay, let's take photos, and then we're going to, come on, everyone, come and stand in front. Let's all our fathers stand here.